Hello, hello, this is Kinnack, coming back for the 45th Metroplexity podcast. It's a lot of podcasts, like, maybe as many podcasts as we've had presidents? Not actually sure, I'd have to go and count. But instead of making you listen to me doing that, let's go ahead and answer some questions. First up, we have a whole block of questions from Al. But first, he says, hi, Ken. Thanks for the podcast, art. You are very welcome. Thanks for the questions. My campaign to crash every system has hit a wall with the hardware breaker. Is there any way to crash it? I mean, crashing the hardware that it's on, really, is the suggested path for doing that. There might be a really tricky way to do it, too, but hardware and trickery are usually not a match made in heaven. There haven't been any new updates from the Novos News Network lady. Will it get any more updates? That would not be the worst thing. I might sneak some of those in there. Also, no new updates from the General News Network, except for what Zach has in stock. Any updates from Old Town Advancements? I certainly planned to do that, so I either screwed something up or lost track of those in all of the Old Town related excitement, so I'll go back in there and check those guys out. Can you discuss how Nova sites are coded up on the back end without too many spoilers? It's a very complicated but very interesting system. Well, I'm glad you think it's interesting. Definitely is also complicated. There's sort of, I mean, the generation process is where you get most of the complexity, but there's a lot of hard-coded stuff. I mean, as far as, like, how the routines respond to things is a lot more nuanced than what I can do with my usual approach of sort of creating almost like a pseudocode language to do everything, and there's just too much variability for that, at least up to this point. It's possible that I'll be able to unify it later, but I don't really think so. And then, I mean, on top of that, there's a lot of traits about the individual sites that are feeding into it, stuff like the interests of student sites are, you know, separately assigned to those sites, and it pulls up what sort of stuff they might be talking about or doing out of that. I mean, probably the I would say even now, like, there's probably substantially more just code for Novos than for the old system, which is good. I'm glad that it didn't take us too long to, you know, don't necessarily think complexity for its own sake is a reward, but if I had torn out the old system and put in something that was, like, tiny to replace it, I don't think that would have felt very good. Yeah, I guess that's at least a little bit of what's going on there. But yeah, like, each routine sort of has its own, I mean, block of code associated with it. And some of them have a lot more than that. I mean, the what happens when you look through, like, a student's shared files is just a huge mass of very interestingly conditional code, and it's really the conditions where you get into the spoilery stuff. The antique controller gloves occasionally crash. Is there anything we can do to avoid this other than using them altogether? I assume you're not using them altogether there. I mean, you could not use them altogether, and that would certainly prevent them crashing, but specific. I mean, there's a little bit about like how you use them that I'm sure you've already figured out, like that there isn't always a chance of them crashing, depending on which tools you use from it. But the there's also not a way to like 100% avoid it ever crashing on you, but certainly to make it less likely. But you know, when you want to take that risk is up to you, and I think that that makes them I don't know, interesting, fun. There are several routines, Midgard Hound, Hand-Coated Claw, Obscuring Veil, etc. Sometimes throwing up defenses if we attack them. Any hints about if this is something we can control or at least anticipate? Most of the time, I won't, this is not like a, like, hard and fast, like how it's coded into the game sort of rule, but as a general sort of thought, a lot of those are sort of hints that you can backdoor them somehow. Fangpedia has 20 hardening. Which is on the order of 10 times what I typically need for a given hacking study. Is that okay for Novos? No, when I was going through the old stuff, that just didn't get reduced, for whatever reason. That should probably be, like, 4. Let me actually go in there and fix that before I forget. There we go. The stereo suite program seems way too powerful compared to everything else because hardening is normally a non-issue. Assuming you mean with the Fang PDA, yeah, that certainly has had way too much on there. Although, it's probably still, I mean, even with 4, it's probably still pretty good with the staring programs. And I mean, I'm not gonna worry about it too much in that hardening. I mean, definitely will come up more as you go through. So leaning on that as a long-term solution, by which I mean going into like downtown, won't necessarily carry you that far. And it also just sort of, I mean, something's going to be best, right? Might as well be, you know, an interesting interaction between a quest item and an unearthly item, right? I mean, if something's going to be, this is not like necessarily a game design principle, but just something that I feel a lot of the time playing games when it's like, oh, you need to get like, you know, the cool thing to, like, you know, get to the top of your game, like, that cool thing being, like, just, like, a random drop, or, like, even a drop from, like, a obscure but not noteworthy enemy. I feel like, you know, you want there to be something that's has a little more work put into it. And I feel that, like, Fangpedia has some story behind it. The staring programs have some story behind them. And I think that, you know, even if it ends up being a little unbalanced, like, bringing those together is nice. Like, that rings okay to me, if that makes sense. Old-time questions. Once we get in the record vault, there doesn't seem to be any way to get back to the office. Where is the other side of that vault door? I mean, I guess I can add that in. It's one of those things that it's easy to forget about stuff that you're fairly confident that nobody will care about. But, like, it does kind of matter there. Because going back to the main floor can actually be functionally, through that door, can be functionally different from, going out to the street. Just like, you know, to the map and going back inside. So I should probably add that in there. But it's not something that I consider, you know, terribly urgent. Midira doesn't seem to be in a particular hurry to repair the giant hole you make of the big dig in the side of the vault. Wouldn't someone repair that after a couple days, or at least put up some guards? I mean, if you want me to make your life more difficult, I can always do that. And you're not wrong. I mean, there should be a certain level of kicking the hornet's nest that gives you. That probably isn't accurately portrayed in large extent because it was in sort of that no man's land of broken and not discovered in varying extents until quite recently. So hasn't necessarily gotten the same same layer of post-relief love that a lot of other places have. We found one new skill from Old Town. Presumably there are more to go. I made some progress infecting the office workers, but I can't get the vine to get into the vault. Any hints? I mean, there certainly is an interaction with the office workers there and taking over their cubes and stuff. That I think is pretty interesting. I'm not sure if that'll necessarily lead you into, like, interesting vault mechanics or skills, necessarily. That said, there's a bunch more Old Town skills and side quests and stuff that I want to put in. And actually a completely unrelated side quest that I'm working on right now, because that's how these things end up working. It's like, oh, I need to add this thing, and it's like, oh, actually, that thing is sort of dependent on this thing, which works with this other thing with, and now I'm working on something on the docks, because that's how that goes. The survivors are pretty content to sit back and let us do most of the work. I wish I could ask them for more advice, though. Can you get some combat training from Health, learn new techniques, or get a few unique crafting recipes from Low, or learn some hacking tricks from Dr. A? Now that you mention it, like, with the, I mean, they're mostly there as, like, you know, you're choosing what path you take through the rest of the game. But certainly once you've made that choice and gone on to Old Town or possibly Downtown, it would make some sense to have them be a little more forthcoming with the wisdom, as it were, at least in their areas of expertise. And on to other questions. Still Alpha. Just in case anyone was worried. We might have run out of ammo. Back in 2012, I asked if open Paracel was available from the subway tunnels, and you vaguely hinted that it might be. Later that year, the art museum was opened, and open Paracel was fallen there. Is there still some unknown way to get it from the subway damsel as well? I wasn't entirely happy with the way to get it in the subway. So I, since nobody had found it, I actually replaced it with the, museum one. So, yeah, at present there is no way to get it from, the subway damsel. The arsonist training skill has a picture of a flamethrower. We still only have one flamethrower, Ecofuel flamethrower. Are there any more fire weapons to find or planned? There will eventually be more, more dealings with organizations that are just very pro fire weapon, in the same sort of way that, like, the Fangs really like ranged weapons, and you can imagine, I guess, certain. I mean, there's like the bombs who tend towards melee, but you can probably imagine other organizations have their own approaches to combat. But as far as like iconic flamethrowers, the Blind Legion are big fans. And like elsewhere in the world, you've got like Omnitech uses them a lot, like Omnitech Special Forces, but I don't know. It will probably be quite a while before you have any reason to run into those guys. Like, they're not, like, you'd have to fuck up pretty bad, like, on a sort of, like, cataclysmic scale, to get, to actually draw their attention. So I wouldn't expect to have to fight them and take their sweet flamethrowers anytime in the near future. But the Blind Legion might come up. So we're coming up 4 years since the Dorms exploded, and they're still scrambling to finish building it. Will we see that finished soon? I want to loot some hipsters and punk students' dorms. I sort of wandered off for a moment. There's a, so I've talked about it a number of times. I live in Columbus, but the specific neighborhood I live in is called Victorian Village, which is a, if you're chasing Amy on this, but there's sort of like, you know, the gentrification, process, but, Victorian Village is very much at like the far end of that. The people that we have a pair of friends who we purchased the house from that we're living in now. And when they bought the house, the neighborhood was like people were getting mugged in the alleys and like drug dens and like pretty much some straight up like Southside level bullshit. And the since then it's very much like walking through our neighborhood now, it's probably like a quarter, I would say easily a quarter of the properties in our neighborhood right now are being renovated in one way or another. But that's after like it's probably like two rounds of people. There's this really interesting process where you get sort of this wave of like, I mean, young professionals, basically, not in like the uppie sense, but just like young people who have like a decent amount of money and like wanna buy houses but don't have kids yet. All the houses here sort of started fixing them up, and then, with the exception of the single people and gay couples, largely had kids and realized that the schools here are complete bollocks, which, if you're not from America, American schools are a hilarious sort of situation. It's the funding for them is pulled out of property taxes, so to a large extent, how good schools a like city or like a school district will have is determined by the value of the houses in that district in some like twisted like Sim City sort of way. Anyway, moral of the story, we're still like surrounded by a lot of, you know, a lot of neighborhoods that are not high property value by any means. And, the schools are still kind of garbage. There's been this process of a couple of waves. Anyway, I'm not even sure how I got distracted by that. Moral of the story is that there's a, old apartment building that was very much like a slum apartment building that, when we originally moved to Columbus was already in the process of being renovated. And they finished it, like, a year and a half ago, maybe. They're literally just, like, doing the landscaping, like, in the last couple of weeks, sort of thing. So I guess it wasn't even a year and a half ago. It was probably around this fall, actually, when they finally finished everything they wanted to do. So it's like, 7.5, 8 years. So moral of the story, I'm not too concerned about the dorms, although I guess the dorms will get done when I have some cool stuff that I want to put there. So, yeah. Matchbox says, "This is pretty graphic descriptions of violence, gore, needles, etc. Is there anything you are personally squeamish about?" Oh, that's an interesting question. There was definitely a time where it would have been like maggots, but when, like, they had totally freaked my shit for, like, I don't know, probably 20 years or something. And when I was in college, we were, Liz and myself and another guy who was a roommate, we're in our first, I guess, housemate. Oh, we're in our first off-campus house. And Liz isn't just an incredibly responsible, like, thoughtful, forward-thinking sort of person. And so ended up doing, like, a really outsized amount of the chores. Just because, like, she'd be like, oh, I have a couple of spare minutes. Like, why don't I clean up a little bit? I'm not getting anything else done. Whereas our housemate and if nothing else, a much higher tolerance for stuff being a little bit filthy. But one thing that she did particularly dislike doing was the dishes. And she would always cook. Not always, but she was by far the best and most interested cook among us. So probably 2/3 of the time she'd end up cooking. And the rest of the time was not worth eating. But the so, but there was this, you know, it was really, like, supposed to be, it was not asking much, but it was, like, housemate would do the dishes one day, I would do the dishes the next day, and just back and forth. And for whatever reason, we both got very much under the impression that we had done the dishes last, and had been under the, it managed to stay under that impression for an extended period of time, and got very, like, touchy about it in that way that you do when you're a college student, I guess. I don't know. It's one of those things that seems very silly in retrospect, but, like, I was fairly annoyed at the time. And finally Liz was like, okay, like, just do the fucking dishes. Which, by the way, if you've not heard James Sutter's magnum opus, Do the Fucking Dishes, I would suggest finding it on YouTube. But the, finally doing the dishes, and, I, like, fill the sink up, and I'm, like, washing it, and pull my hand out, and there's just this, like, little maggot crawling across, like, the meat of my hand next to my thumb, and I'm like, that is actually, like, a little adorable. Like, it's just sort of like, I'm going as fast as I can, trying to get away from the soapy water. And, like, I don't know, like, just in that moment, like, you're supposed to, you know, it obviously wasn't a phobia, but if you have a phobia, you're supposed to do exposure therapy. But it's not supposed to be like, you look at me like, oh, that's a little adorable. And now I do composting, so even, like, big, horrible maggots or grubs are just sort of like, oh, I fucked it up and I added too much, well, composting people call it greens, but too much wet stuff, basically, or the weather's just been shitty, and the compost pile got really damp for whatever reason. It's like, ah, maggots, I did badly. It's like when you die halfway through a level in some video game. But let's see. I used to be really bad with needles too. I mean, like, most of the stuff that actually, like, really bothers me is very internal, which I think might say something about, like, deeper revelations behind clips or something, I don't know, but, like, for the most part, it's just, like, wow, that just came out of my head, like, that's really not, like, a cool thing to be, like, considering. So, yeah, it's, I would say mostly more of a, like, not so much squeamishness anymore, so much as that sort of, like, there's a really good word for it that I'm missing, but that sort of almost existential terror, where you, I guess, existential, almost more like, I don't know myself. It's like when you know yourself and you're not really sure if you want to, that's usually where I end up in the horror spectrum now. Can you say what our single biggest misunderstanding about a system is, other than code finesse? I know we don't understand that. I seem to recall that the understanding of phishing has been pretty off. But I would have to look at, like, you know, the current research to say that exactly. I know that there's been a great deal of effort put into that in the last, you know, year or so. So I'm not 100% sure if that's still correct. Some questions from Arcane. First up, what's up, Kinnack? Not too much. Been helping out Liz a lot with the Reason Rally, which is reasonrally.org, which is actually what I've most been helping out with. The big gathering of cool people on the National Mall, which, if you are in D.C., I will be in the D.C. area, sort of around then, around June 4th. Won't be available at all, like, on June 4th, but, like the days leading up to it. If you have access to downtown D.C. and want to come by and say hi, let me know. And if you want to, you know, go to the Reason Rally, it'll be great, and they'll have fun. Oh, actually, things that I did not know for sure, I don't think last time I was talking about it on a podcast, is that they will, in fact, have most of the Wu-Tang Clan, which is pretty awesome. But yeah, most of the Wu-Tang Clan, Bill Nye, Johnny Depp, John DeLancey, if you're a Trek fan. I think he might have been in something else more recently that people really like too, but to me, I mean, he's Q, right? Yeah, they've got the woman who's playing Queen Mara in the upcoming Aquaman movie, who's name I cannot remember for the life of me. Oh, and, like, Margaret Cho, and a whole bunch of people. moral of the story, there will be a whole bunch of really cool people, including me, and my spouse, who will be, like, emceeing, like, chunks of it, and I think singing the national anthem and all sorts of stuff like that. So yeah, it'll be cool. Other than that, I've been finally reading Terry Pratchett. I grabbed 3 Terry Pratchett books, because, like, they're sort of things that I'm supposed to have read, and I really like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and the style of humor is very similar, but in a fantasy setting, so, like, I should like it. So I got 3 of them, one of which is Light's Fantastic, maybe, but the very first one, and then Pyramids, and then Equal Rights, because I found a chart of possible places to start reading Discworld stuff, because there's a lot of, like, overlapping sub-series, and I read the first one, and hated it. And then I read the second one and was not very impressed, but I read, the third one, Equal Rights, I read and enjoyed a fair bit. Sort of, I think quite a bit as a result of it, sort of like, it never stopped being funny, but more like, focusing down more in on the story. Yeah, it's and I've been running 2 Pathfinder games, one of which is very like they're both with prepared adventure paths that Pathfinder is sort of known for. Pathfinder basically being an offshoot of D&D, but the one of the groups I'm running through is doing Shattered Star, which is a very, like, very traditional sort of fantasy campaign. It's like the Shattered Star of the name is, an artifact that has, its parts have been flung to. I literally just accidentally threw my pen at a map of the world that they're playing in, as I said, flung. So that was kind of awesome. Bonus points for gesticulating at the right times. But, yeah, it's sort of like, collect all the widgets, and, hopefully save the country. And there are 5 of 7 widgets, but ended up having to parlay one of them to a, dragon in exchange for, not getting killed. So I guess currently there are 4 of 7 widgets, but, they're planning to catch up with that dragon at some point, which may be sooner than they think. That group is very, like, not, like, serious business in the, in the derogatory sense, but they are definitely half old-timers and half people who are just very interested in, like, doing things sort of by the book, in the, like, this is how you do things sense, not in, like, rule lawyering. Yeah, they're very, very strategic, tactically minded, sort of thing. And the other group is going through Reign of Winter, which is basically a whole adventure path about, Baba Yaga, sort of going missing and tracking her down before her daughter fucks everything up and reduces the world to, like, an ice-covered wasteland that she can rule over. And that that group is, like, not... is just very, like, flighty, almost. They're sort of... flighty isn't even the right word. They're just, like, where the first group thinks very much in, like, straight lines and angles, like, that group is just, like, these, like, spiraling curves where it's, like, the first group would, like, infiltrate, you know, the fortress and steal the item they want and, like, you know, just kill, like, you know, the absolute minimum number of people on the way to what they needed. Or, alternately, go through, like, room by room and kill absolutely freaking every person in it if they were treating it like a dungeon. And then the group is very much just like, oh, we'll just, you know, sort of walk in and, like, kill some people and talk to some people and, oh, these people will lead us to, like, the commander, but, oh, wait, now because they let us and we're at the commander's place, now we're horribly outnumbered, we're going to have to, like, surrender and get put in their jail and negotiate our way out of that jail, and now we're working for the people who we were trying to kill a second ago, and just rapidly spirals out of control. And they're both very, very different games, enjoyable in very, very different ways, but it's nice to have those going every week. Puyo, of all of the art fame, is actually in the second group. She is playing a rat-folk alchemist who may have been some amount of inspiration for labyrinthine enemy. Yeah, I think that's sort of everything that's been going on in my life, and it's finally nice out, so I've been going on, like, all of the fucking walks, and we have a canoe, so we've been canoeing some, too. At least when Liz is not busy doing crazy Reason Rally stuff. I remember a while ago, the answer to the first few zones would be water heavy, which explains why ocean eyes seems to have such an upper hand over fey eyes, but the later areas would be more tunnel heavy to sort of compensate. Wasn't Old Town supposed to be one of those places? Doesn't seem to have too much in the way of explorable tunnels. I was more thinking about downtown, although there is a little bit of fey stuff in Old Town, if you are looking in the right places. Where has Meg gone? I don't know. People sort of come and go, and I don't typically keep a terribly close eye on them, in that, like, I know people through the game and communicate with them through the game, and when they drop out of the game, I don't usually have any way to contact them. So, yeah, I would just assume, just taking a break, we'll come back at some point and be like, wow, that's a lot of new content, and we'll tell me about all of the typos. what kind of convenient lie? And with strange eons, even death may die? I don't know. It's got a good structure. Questions still under construction. Well, when you finish those up, be sure to get back to me. Next, we've got some from CryptoDynamic. Hey, Kinnick! Hey, Crypto! I literally just waved there, which I'm only telling you about because it was really embarrassing. Zach mentions that Midgard is rumored to melt down unearthly coins for the metal they're made of. Is there anything to those rumors? I mean, not anything that you can interact with yet, but I would not be terribly surprised to find out the horrible truth or horrible lies in the future. Also, while going back and reviewing what Zach can talk about, he mentions living in Old Town, his house getting bulldozed. Did he used to live in what is now the construction site? Yep, that's where he used to make his abode. That's a little bit the I was talking a little bit about Victorian village and gentrification and so forth. There is sort of the dark side of that, which is a lot of not like it's usually actually okay for people who own homes in low-income areas. Like, they usually get bought out at, like, what the house is worth, or actually substantially more in some cases, depending on where exactly they jump off. But People who rent in those areas can get screwed pretty hard. And that's just sort of a an unfortunate thing that you you notice living in an area that's going through that. There's a whole... there have been many blocks of like not great apartment buildings that are now like high-end apartment buildings. And, yeah, those people kind of have to go somewhere, which is a little awkward. But now we have high-end apartment buildings, I guess. So, more things SimCity doesn't teach you about. That and that, you know, you need to have your railroads actually connect with each other to go between parts of your city. Looks like it's been a while since we last asked, so do we now have the tools to make getting the Fire Tamer skill reasonable? I feel like that skill has been attained. So I'm going to go with yes. Let me double check something real quick here. Man, 13. Maybe not. So yeah, it's not quite as hard as it looks, but it doesn't look like anyone's actually gotten it yet. So I am willing to say that might still be secreted away in the depths. How would you feel about an equivalent to the PEP program that causes anger instead of satisfaction? That sounds really like my last couple of days, actually. Even if I had a penalty on it, a steady source of rage would be nice. Rage. So good. I mean, I would... I would generally be... I would not be surprised if something like that existed somewhere in the world, but it's not something that there would be a lot of call for, just because it's very much like a permanent sort of thing. So you're more likely looking at, you know, neural recordings and the like that would still be providing that. What process do you use for determining the numbers required for things involving participation from multiple players, like helping Roy with hacking, thresholds for things happening during Halloween, or the like? By far the least painful way for me to do it is to set them up sort of in opposition. So with like a lot of the Halloween stuff, it's not a question so much of hitting, like, an arbitrary threshold that I've set, but hitting, like, getting substantially more than, you know, the opposing force. So, yeah, that's by far the easiest way to do it. Beyond that, I mean, I just sort of have to eyeball it. I've generally done pretty okay at that. But I would still much rather not have to do that and just sort of have a conflict like that instead. How long ago were the Orbital Wars? There's still veterans around, but it seems like it's been long enough for a lot of media to be created, even movies which can be considered classic. I think of it sort of... I mean, if you think of, like... I mean, you know, anything in the range from, like, World War II through, like, the Vietnam War. And, honestly, was, I mean, the Orbital Wars was a pretty substantial length of time, so it's a little more of a blob over those, obviously speaking from a very U.S.-centric sense. But even looking at, like, Vietnam, there's a lot of, and I shouldn't say a lot of, but there are movies from them that are very much classics, right? Movies about it. And obviously way more so when you get back into World War II, which we actually want to talk about. And totally not the Korean War, which, aside from MASH, gets totally ignored. Like, just nothing. But yeah, that's sort of, I feel like probably the best analogy is, to my mind, is probably, Vietnam, just because that's, what I pull. Well, the sort of personal experiences I have that I pull a lot of that from, just talking about, like, I mean, like, length of time-wise, obviously the propaganda effect is a little bit different, but I just sort of, I grew up around a lot of veterans who served during Vietnam, like my dad and sort of all of his friends, from, like, and just got some very interesting perspectives on, like, war and the world and violence, from that, chunk of my upbringing, and that sort of, I guess, gets pulled, not, like, the Orbital Wars aren't modeled after Vietnam at all, like, they're very much sort of their own thing that, is a large part of explaining, like, what happened to the nation states. Like, it's just, it's there to answer this very important question, which, if you're familiar with Shadowrun at all, there's a very important, court decision, actually, Shiawassee something, I don't remember the full name of the decision, but it's basically the first time that the courts ruled that, corporations have extraterritorial rights, and basically ended up being the something along the lines of there were food riots in a city, and a corporate van, like an armored van with armed guards, was carrying something for a corporation that was known to do food production, and a bunch of rioters attacked it, and the guards basically opened fire and killed a ton of people. Turns out that it was actually carrying, I forget if it was nuclear waste or some sort of, like, virulent biological agent, but something that everyone was sort of like, oh, yeah, we're glad that that didn't get out. But the court decision ended up having these really sweeping effects throughout the Shadowrun setting, which sets up, like, how their corporations work. And the Orbital Wars really set up, like, how the corporations work in the future of Metroplexity. But when I'm pulling, like, chunks of war out, I mean, there's, like, when you're talking about media, like, you're pulling a lot of World War II, because America isn't really a big fan of talking about Vietnam. I mean, like, talk about it enough to, like, make fun of people with PTSD, which was sort of the main way that it came up, at least when I was watching media as a kid. It was like, you know, the jumpy, you know, Vietnam vet was very much like an iconic character on television, which I was more sensitive to because obviously I knew all of these people. And I was like, wow, that's like really kind of douchey. But anyway, a lot of the media stuff is pulling more from World War II and a lot of the sort of veterans' experiences, just because, like, I mean, I have friends now who, you know, came back from Iraq and Afghanistan, places like that, but the really, like, you know, deep, ingrained experiences of my youth are very much, like, talking to people who really, like, went through the shit in Vietnam and came back as very different people in a lot of cases. And so, yeah, that's sort of where those two things come from, inspiration-wise. So, yeah, wow, that went to, like, a very different, darker place than the question really was. But, yeah, I think of it as, like, a 40, 50, 60 years ago, like, in that range. And so the vets are definitely on the older side. What is Jess majoring in? Oh, you know, I feel like I decided that at some point. I feel like it's actually really obvious from the books that she's selling, which it isn't necessarily. There we go. Yeah, she's rocking some kind of, some very STEM degree, probably electrical engineering. I mean, just looking at her books, which I'm, yeah, I was definitely planning on, yeah, cause she's not, yeah, definitely, yeah, okay, I was just sort of spinning back through, like, I feel like there might have been some, like, really complicated answer to that, but at least a large part of that answer is EE, so. Will we at some point be able to progress further with Andrea looking into her nature, or will we have to search elsewhere for answers? I mean, there's intended at some point for there to be a little side quest involving her and sort of what she can figure out. It does not approach a be-all, end-all answer, though, even at, I mean, spoilers, at the end of that quest chain. So, yes, to both. Can a coat of defensive circuitry unlocked in a previous reset be upgraded to a coat of masterful circuitry, or do you need to go through the entire unlock process in order? That is an interesting question. I would have to dig into the code for that. I would... Don't take this as gospel, but I'd say probably 75% chance, that it would let you pick up where you left off, as long as you have the coat in the correct form. But, you know, don't quote me on that. Question from Vols. What's up? Reason Rally, Pathfinder, a couple of angry days this week. Not like anything bad happened. It was just like very, like, took my, you know, anxiety meds and, like, vitamins and got, like, some just, like, fucking rage cola in there and went apeshit. Not that I actually went apeshit. I was just sort of like, I'm really angry. I can't GM today. And they were like, oh, okay. We don't want you GMing when you're angry because, you know, it will not be an enjoyable experience. But, of course, the joking answer being because you'll kill all of our characters. But yeah, other than that, yeah, doing good, waking up, having spring existing. Wish we could get in more canoeing, but Liz is very busy. When she's done with the rally, I expect that there will be a couple weeks where we just sort of live on the canoe before she starts her new job. Some questions from Plus Four. Is the Unreal Drip exchange obtained by a chemistry upgrade, something like the IV bag plus another item? Yeah, there's but fair warning, there's some sort of like thing that you put into the IV bag needs a thing that you haven't found. So there's sort of a nesting dolls thing, and there's really a nesting dolls thing. So if you take the Unreal Drip, and that's like the adorable middle nesting doll, not that I've been running, the Bob Yaga Adventure Path, but you need to find like the big outside nesting doll, and then I think the rest will come through pretty quickly. But the big outside nesting doll is definitely the problem. When selling stuff for golden tickets, is occasional she even kicks in a little extra message completely random? No. I mean, there is a random factor, but there's definitely a pattern of sorts if you dig into it enough. I've recently started getting into hacking and finding that decompilers no longer a thing since December. This means I can't make the Blackthorn V6, because that requires an advanced interpreter, which you can't make without a language interpreter, and that requires a decompiler. The question is, what gives? Let me rephrase that a bit. When will Oldos be completely retired so all these tantalizing but unobtainable items can be marked as such, or will you please make it decompilers obtainable somehow? I plan to make Oldos gone soon. Sometime pretty shortly after the next unearthly item comes out. Which is itself taking a little longer than I hoped, because Pio has been having a rough time at work and hasn't had a ton of time to do art. So the art for that item may be delayed, which sort of pushes a bunch of other stuff back. But yeah, that those should be able to be flagged as totally and utterly ungettable soon. And I mean, that looks like that particular one is already ungettable. I don't particularly care if people can get it right now, but a lot of that stuff, I mean, if stuff isn't carrying over yet, that is unrelated to the PvP stuff, which is like the last part that we're switching over, it probably isn't going to be obtainable long term and will become, collector's items or whatever happens to items that no longer have any particular function. In hacking, is there some mechanism that makes a player better after some or a lot of grinding? Not really. I mean, you're there's like the skills and the programs and stuff that you need to get. But I guess it has a fairly shallow ceiling beyond just like figuring out what the heck's going on, which is enough of a problem in itself. But yeah, there isn't, a secret hacking skill counter that helps you out, although there are a couple of secret counters that result in unlocking other things. Not like suddenly you're better at hacking, but you finally understand this or that cool thing. Well, one of those might loop back in a little bit. I would have to dig some. But yeah, for the main body of hacking, no, there's nothing equivalent to like the phishing skill, at least not yet. That just requires, you know, a lot of, I mean, not the phishing skill, of course, a ton of time phishing to kick in, but yeah, it's mostly just down to player skill and all that. So, looks like we are to the end of our questions. Thanks very much to everyone who asked. We've got some donation item I was just talking about. Coming up, a little bit of a side quest I mentioned that sort of wandered off and took on a life of its own. The end of the Novos PvP stuff, and then finally closing the door on Uldos. And then taking a deep breath and probably starting to seriously look at downtown. Admittedly, I do still have to ring the maps out of Puyo. Puyo does not like doing maps, or frankly, backgrounds. Even though I think she's actually gotten quite good at both of them, she's just not really a big fan. If I was like, draw me 100, you know, robots, oh god, she would be so happy. I would just get, like, just stack of JPEGs. She ran a horse. But if it's like, give me two maps, it's like, oh god, why must you do this to me? Which, I mean, there's stuff in programming and game design that's like pulling teeth to me, so I totally empathize. But, you know, maps aren't going to map themselves. So. I think, I honestly, when the, I've seen the sketches for the downtown maps, it's like, I would be pretty comfortable just, like, dropping these into the game, but Puyo would totally kill me. Like, it's not done yet, I must make myself suffer first for art. Puyo's great. So yeah, that's the that's I guess the state of downtown. Yeah, we've got some cool stuff coming up. Just wanted to touch base with everyone and answer some questions. Thanks very much for asking and for listening. If you donate, thanks a ton for donating. And I will see you next time.